Bring a new sermon series today that I've titled Summer in the Psalms. We've got a cool, I think it's cool, Hawaiian looking tropical graphic thing there. And I don't think Dale knew that I was going to use that, but I appreciate what he wore today. I've actually got a new Hawaiian shirt that my wife got for me. Our anniversary, or not our anniversary, but our 40-year celebration of graduation from high school is coming up as a Hawaiian theme.
You didn't have to say 40 years.
Okay. However many years, but it's Hawaiian themed, so I got a new Hawaiian shirt. I was going to wear that today because it kind of goes with the Summer in the Psalms graphic there, but I chickened out because I'm not as brave as Dale, but I will commit to try to wear my Hawaiian shirt next week. You can all wear your Hawaiian stuff. Yeah, sure, why not? Make it festive. But we're going to look at Psalm 119 today. If you turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, and I know some of you know, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. We are not going through all of it. We're going to go through what we can take in, which is just really kind of unpacking 8 verses, although I'll read 16 because it intros the rest of it. But I've titled the sermon today, Prayers We Need to Pray. And the heart of this sermon series is praying the Word of God back to Him. That's what we're going to be looking at for the next several weeks. So we'll see how many. I think through July and August, we're going to really be focused on praying the Psalms, the Psalms being a prayer book for us. And so my goal today, we'll kind of intro the series and that passage, but my goal today is I want you and I to be refreshed, because I need it. Maybe you need it, relationally and spiritually and physically, and just knowing what a lot of folks have been going through lately. I think most of us could use refreshed in the Lord in our spirits. Anybody else need that today other than me? I definitely do. I need the Word of God and the Spirit of God to refresh me today and to renew me and to reinvigorate me. And I'm praying that for all of us. And I want you to know for that to happen, and it certainly can, I think God wants to refresh us today and renew us. Prayer is the key. Prayer is essential. Praying in faith, trusting the Lord is essential for that. And one of the gifts God has given us to help us pray, He's given us His Word. He's given us His Word. You know, in prayer, it's not just speaking to God, it's hearing from God as well, Him speaking to us. And God speaks to us through His Word, but He also gives us, there's a lot of times that my soul is knotted up, my heart is twisted, and I don't even have the words until I open the Bible. And I'll read a Psalm of David, or I'll see one of the Old Testament prophets who's going through a struggle that I can relate to, and their heart just crying out, that's the words right there. That's what's going on with me. And it gives me the words to pray. But it is important for us to be a praying church, not just a people who pray, but a praying church. I was reading a blog online about prayer. This was from a man, Pastor Tom. I don't really know much about him, but I came across this. And he said that he was blessed to have this godly woman in his life who was a prayer warrior, and her name was Nell Bruce. And I just want to read a quote here. Pastor Tom wrote that one day, and speaking of this elderly saint, one day she pulled me aside and she spoke in her usual blunt but loving way. Brother Tom, I know you have a keen interest in how the church can be healthy. Let me tell you straightforward what the answer is. God's people need to pray more. God's people have to pray more. If we pray, God hears and answers. If we pray, He opens the door for people to hear about Jesus. If we pray, we don't have time or desire to fight and feud. You know, it's really that simple. End quote. You know, I read in the book of Acts about the early church, and it says that the apostles, waiting in that upper room for that promise of the Holy Spirit, they waited in prayer.
Yeah.
They were devoted to prayer as they waited. There in Acts 1, we see in Acts 2, the early church devoting himself to the apostles' teaching, but also devoting themselves to prayer. The early church was a praying church. They were brand new believers, and yet they were people of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, he's talking about the will of God in chapter 5, and he has a lot to say. But right there, kind of in the midst of him describing the will of God, he says that we are to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Pray continually. We're always to have this recurring spirit of prayer in our lives, this continual communication with God. But before we talk about that, before we talk too much about our activities and our being engaged in prayer, I want to mention some of God's activities. For those who are redeemed, for those who put their trust in Jesus, we know we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Christ is the one who has bought our redemption. Christ is the one who's made a way for us to be saved. He's made a way for us to be cleansed of our sins. Jesus is the one who, because of what He has done, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because of what Jesus has done, we have the gift of righteousness. And it is because of what Jesus has done that we are able to approach God in prayer. He purchased the privilege of prayer for us. And it is a privilege for us to go to the Father and to have an audience with God and for Him to hear our prayers and for Him to speak to us. So today we're going to talk about that gift of prayer that we shouldn't take for granted. Prayer is having access to God. Prayer is being able to communicate with God, to have fellowship with God, communion with God, to claim God-given promises that He's given us in His Word. You know, sometimes there are things, there are blessings that God purchased for us that we just leave on the table, we don't even pick up and appreciate or use. I've heard a story about a young boy a long time ago. His mom bought a ticket for him to go on an ocean voyage, to go across to America from Europe. And this young boy, back then it took weeks or even months to get across the ocean. And this boy, his mom packaged dry bread for the voyage. So she had all this, it was a lightweight meal, so she just dried all this bread, and he had this huge, heavy sack full of dry bread. And some sailors, after quite a bit of time on the sea, they saw this boy eating bread every day. They felt sorry for him. They said, "Son, if you want to help with some of our chores, you can have some of our meals." And he said, "Okay." So he helped out with mopping and doing things to do that, and got a little extra food. And he noticed that a lot of the passengers were going to this dining room every day, getting these great meals. There was a buffet, and they had all these wonderful meals. And he really thought, wow, how fortunate that they were able to have that. And it wasn't until the last day of the voyage he found out that every passenger, when their ticket was purchased, every passenger, including him, had access to meals every day, but he didn't know that. And so he's just trying to get by on his bread and whatever the sailors would give to him. You know, the blood of Jesus has purchased for you and for I wonderful promises from God that we can claim, that we can go to God and say, "God, Your Son has purchased this. The Son of God has purchased this for me, and I stand upon that promise. I believe in it." So we need to be in the Word of God and claiming those promises and realizing the divine wisdom of God to give us that. You know, I believe that, you know, a lot of times it's not until we're really struggling, at least for me, that I go to God in prayer as desperately as I should. But we need to understand that there is wisdom from God. There's divine wisdom even allowing us to struggle, to bring us to Him in prayer. And I think we're going to recognize that today. I hope so. The wisdom of God in that. So let's do a reality check real quick before we really dig into the Word today. Does anybody else here other than me struggle with your prayer life? I think, you know, taking time to pray, knowing what to pray, knowing how to pray, we all struggle. We all struggle. We struggle with prayer. It's part of the Christian life, and we all struggle in the Christian life. And, you know, maybe you think, I used to think this of pastors. When I first got saved, I thought they don't struggle. They're godly, holy men, and you know, and they and their wives, they've got it together, and they don't struggle at all. And sometimes people think, well, surely Pastor James doesn't struggle. I want to tell you right now, there are two kinds of believers. There are believers who struggle, and there are believers who don't struggle. And the believers who don't struggle, I know a lot of them by name, and all of them are in heaven. Okay, there are no believers on earth who don't struggle. Okay. All the believers in heaven, it's a great day, right? No struggle there. All the believers here, we struggle. That's just part of life on earth. It's a struggle. We all do. I was at a conference in Indianapolis several years ago. One of the keynote speakers was Ann Graham Lotz. And I don't know if you've ever read much from Ann Graham Lotz, one of Billy Graham's daughters, or heard much from her. She is, I admire her. I think she's a remarkable, wise, and godly woman. Billy Graham, many times I know, said that the great Bible expositor in that family, and that's a family of great evangelists and preachers, it's Ann, always, that she was just a remarkable lady. But one of the first things that Ann Graham Lotz said when she got on that platform and got ready to share from the Word of God, and she started talking about prayer, and she said, "All of my life, I have struggled with prayer." And she said, "Every believer I know, every pastor, every evangelist, all struggle in prayer. It's just part of the deal. We all do. But I believe God has a purpose. God is good in that struggling, and I think part of God's purpose is, unless He lets us get to the point of struggle, we won't surrender. Unless we get to the point of struggle, we won't really yield to Him. We'll keep trying to take it upon ourselves to add our part, to do our part. And God wants us to get to that beautiful place of submission, saying, God, You brought me to the place I have no choice. After these hours of wrestling with You, God, I'm just wore out and I'm going to trust You." And He says, "Okay, now I can bless You. Now we can do it." There is a beauty in that struggling. God has a purpose. There's a really unique prayer in Genesis 32. You can turn there if you like. I don't know if I have any slides. I don't think I had any slides for this, but Jacob, you probably know the story of Jacob, wonderful godly man, but Jacob, he had this estranged relationship with his brother Esau, and he's going to go see him. He's making plans to go see him. He's sending ahead some gifts and things to smooth things over because he's scared to death. God has sent some angels to kind of bring some reassurance to him, but he's really wrestling, literally, with God. The Bible says that he wrestled overnight with a man. And we know in the text there are things there in the Hebrew that tells us that this is the pre-incarnate Son of God that he's really wrestling with here. But he has this, I don't know, maybe some of you go for prayer walks, or you have different practices with your... Jacob evidently had prayer wrestling matches where he would speak to God and wrestle with God, which is, I think it's really cool. But the Bible says he wrestled with God until daylight. There in verse 24, and Jacob, his name means supplanter, usurper, and he was a schemer, a manipulator, always trying to work things to his advantage. And he says there in verse 26, Jacob says to the man, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." In verse 28, the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and you have overcome." This man, I think it's Jesus, he changes Jacob's name to Israel. It means God strives. A lot of times, you know, as a young believer, I read that and I thought that meant because he's wrestling. He's striving. You know, he's wrestling with God here. And so he's wrestling with God. But the sense of it here is not that God is striving or he's striving with God, but that God is striving for him. God's striving on his behalf to help him. And this new name, Israel, it represents Jacob's new position in this covenant relationship with God. The text there, it says that Jacob overcame, that Jacob prevailed. You know, the first time I read that, I thought he won the wrestling match. It's not what it says, right? The man here, Christ, he touched Jacob and it threw his hip out. He lost the wrestling match, but he prevailed in receiving the blessing. He prevailed in receiving the blessing because he was submitted. Because he surrendered finally after this night of wrestling, he was able to surrender and get the blessing that God had for him. Verse 29 says, "The man blessed Jacob." So here's why I bring this story up. The Lord had told Jacob's mother, Rebekah, back in Genesis 25, he had said, "I'm going to bless Jacob." Jacob knew, isn't that a joyful noise? Praise God, I love that. Woo! I wish I would have scripted that, yeah. Thank you, Lord. You know, there in Genesis, God revealed it that he was going to bless Jacob, not his older brother Esau, that there was a blessing coming for the multitudes, coming through him. And not only did Rebekah knew that, but if you read the text there in Genesis 32, Jacob knew this. He knew that God had already declared a blessing over him and over his life. It was already a done deal. But it wasn't until Jacob wrestled with God in prayer that that blessing was actually realized. He wrestled with God in prayer through a night of prayer, came to this place of surrender and saying, God, give me this blessing. And the Lord said, okay, now you're ready. Now you're surrendered. You're not scheming to get my blessing anymore that I've already said I'm going to give you. You're ready to trust me for it. And he did. You and I have wonderful promises in the Word of God. And we don't have to manipulate God. We don't have to do something to earn it. We can't. But we need to come to a place of trust and surrender and believing God, take him at his word, and he can give those blessings to us. Amen. Hundreds of promises in the Word of God that are for all believers. There are some blessings that are situational that are just for those individuals in Scripture, but there are many for me and you. And the Bible says that in Christ, that every blessing of God, every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus for us, for those who believe. All that to say, pray through your Bible. We need to read through the Scriptures not only intellectually to understand it, but we need to read through it devotionally to know God and to interact with Him, and let it be your prayer book. So that's the theme here in Psalm 119 is the Word of God. If you're not familiar with it, this is a poem in the Hebrew. It's an acrostic poem. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So as you go through this Psalm 119, we're just going to read a couple stanzas here today. But as you read through it, each of those stanzas begins with a particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But it's all about the Word of God and how we can grow in holiness, how we can grow in our obedience and our walk with the Lord, how we can grow in faith. But we have to believe God's Word for that to happen. And one of the ways that happens is through prayer. So we'll just start. I'm going to start in verse 1 here and just read through verse 8, and then we're going to really kind of unpack and pray through verses 9 through 16 this morning. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. So the writer here in this first section, he's saying, I am determined to know the Lord. I'm determined to know His law. I am determined to follow it. I am promising God that I'm going to follow His word. And then the next stanza here in verse 9, he asks this question, how can a young man keep his ways? How can we fulfill this promise that I've made to God? I've told the Lord, I'm going to meditate on His word. I'm going to delight in it. I'm not going to forget it. How can I do that? How can I walk in God's ways? And he knew it's easy to make a promise, right? And that we make promises to God that sometimes we make pie crust promises. Very easy to make and very easy to break as well. So he said, I don't want to break it, God. How can a young man keep his way? How can I do this, God? You know, the Apostle Paul, in his ministry, he had a time where he was trying to, in his own strength, obey the law of God. He talks about that in Romans 7. He said, it's futile. You can't do it. There's a part of me, a human nature, a sin nature that battles against the Spirit. And I long to do one thing. I long to do what is good, but I end up doing what is bad. And there's this war going on. I said, in my flesh, I just can't do it. But then he learned life in the Spirit. He learned that it isn't through human effort, it is through yieldedness, surrendering to the indwelling Holy Spirit that enables the child of God to walk in righteousness in our daily lives. So to live according to the Word of God, we've got to cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit. invite that filling and control of the Holy Spirit. Let Him control our heart, our desires. We have to seek God, as the passage says, with all of our heart, and believe His word and yield to His Spirit. Verse 9, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Wish I'd read that and knew about that when I was 12. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I want to take a little time this morning just to recognize some prayers that I think we need to pray from these verses. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. You know, each of us are in a different place in our walk with the Lord, and so maybe He's going to impress something different on your heart. You know, I read that and God speaks to my heart and gives me a desire to pray and to say, God, I want to live a pure life. I desire that, Lord. God, I want to live a life where my heart is in alignment with your word and my actions and my thoughts are in keeping with your word, God. I desire that. I want my emotions to be in alignment with your heart, Father. God, I pray, reveal to me your ways and your word, Lord. Help me with that. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. I seek you with all my heart. God, I give my heart to you. But Lord, I want a heart that desires to seek you even more. God, I pray that you would be the greatest desire of my life. Lord, I don't want to stray from you. I don't want to get off the path. Lord, keep me on the narrow path. Help me to seek you every day. Proverbs 4 tells us in verse 23, above everything else, guard your heart. Above everything else, guard your heart. Everything else flows from that. When you have a heart that is seeking after God, when you wake up and the first thing you do is you start just getting your thoughts fixed on Him, God, this is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. God, show me your glory today. Show me your love for me. God, work through me that I would know you more. Help me to make you known to others today, God. When He is your main focus, you start seeing Him everywhere throughout your day. You see His involvement. I think of it as the fingerprints in God. I hear it in conversations. He shows me His presence. And the more that your heart is seeking after Him, the more that you will feel His presence. You'll feel His glory in your life, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to trust and to yield, to obey. Do not let me stray from your commands. God, do not let me stray from your commands. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, he's talking about that war between the flesh and the spirit, and he says, you know, we all have this human tendency. We read the Word of God, even those of us who are saved, we read the Word of God and we see the goodness of God, and we just have this tendency to aimlessly wander off like dumb sheep. They just wander, they go astray. And the psalmist says here, listen, your commands are precious to me. But God, I don't want to stray from you. I know I'm prone to do that. Help me. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, write your word upon my heart in a way that only you can, God. Write your word upon my heart and make my heart a letter from Jesus Christ, Lord. In 2 Corinthians, there's a beautiful, beautiful verse in chapter 3. Verse 3, Paul wrote, you show that you are a letter from Christ. You show that you are a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. We need to pray this prayer. We need to pray that we would not only have the truth in our minds and in our notebooks and in our studies, but the truth of the Word of God would be written on our hearts and change us. That we would become what Paul's talking about here, that our hearts would become a letter from Christ to the people in our lives. Verse 12, praise be to you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. We need to praise God for His Word. God, praise you for your promises. Praise you for your commands, God. Praise you that you reveal yourself and your ways and your character through your Word, God. We praise you and we stand upon the truth of your decrees. We need to pray that. You know, it's great to learn more about God. It's great to do Bible studies and to learn more about God, but we need to know His promises and to claim them by faith. We need to actively trust what the Word of God says. Verse 13, with my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. God, I pray that you would put your words upon my lips today. God, not that I would sound like a know-it-all, not that anybody would think much of me, but Lord, I pray that somebody who needs a blessing, somebody who needs an encouragement today from you, that you would put your words upon my lips, God, to bless somebody else today. You know, we can verbalize great truths from the Word of God that somebody needs to hear. You can pray as you get ready to go have lunch here in a bit at Cracker Barrel. No? Okay. Wherever you're going. You can mistake it. There's grace to go somewhere else if you have to. But you know, you can pray things like, and I do pray, God, give me a word for this server today. They're human. Maybe they just need a reinforcement of something you've already said, or God, maybe they need a prayer. But God, put your words upon my lips today for them, for their sake, that they would know you more and be encouraged. You know, God wants us to enrich the lives of people around us as we stand upon His promises, as we believe those promises and share treasures from His Word. Now I'm just going to read through these last few verses here. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Maybe you read that and you might pray something like what I prayed as I was studying this. I prayed, God, I rejoice in your word. I meditate on your word, God. I delight in your word. Lord, make your word the great desire of my heart that I would never neglect it. I wouldn't get distracted, God, that I would make your word the language of my life. Strengthen my faith, Father, to believe your word above anything, to stand upon your promises. Devoted disciples of Jesus Christ are praying disciples of Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. If you want to know Him more, if you want to see Him move in your life more, if you want to glorify Him more, if you want to bless your family, if you want to bless your marriage, if you want to see God do miracles in your life, you've got to be a person of prayer. You have to be. And for a church to see revival and to see a movement of the Spirit of God, it's got to be a praying church. Always. Every revival that comes upon a culture is always preceded by prayer, usually brought on by desperation. A culture's going on a slippery slope down into darkness. People get desperate and start crying out to God and believing Him, claiming His promises. And He answers. He answers that. God says, pray without ceasing. Pray continually, church. Never stop praying. And pray His word. Delight in it. Believe His word. Claim those promises. Listen to God speak to you through His word and also speak His word back to Him and believe Him. I'm going to pray for us again as we get ready to close. Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, indwelling Spirit, Lord, I pray, I ask, Lord, and I believe that it is Your desire to write the Word of God upon our hearts today. Lord, I pray that for every person here, that our hearts would become a letter from Christ, filled with Your Spirit and filled with Your Word, Lord, that we would know You better, that we would continue to become more like Jesus, and that You would help us, Lord, to make You known to those around us in a way that only Your Spirit, speaking Your Word, can do. And God, we pray for that first word that You have for those who are still far from You, that word of a desire for people to come to the Father in faith and repentance and to be saved. Lord, we pray for anyone here today or watching online who does not know Jesus yet as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Yes, Lord. And God, we stand upon that promise today, that it is Your desire, that You love the world so much that You have given Your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That You sent Your Son to come into this world, to go to that cross, not to condemn, but to save. And God, we stand upon that promise today. And we ask, Father, that You would draw hearts to the Son. Draw hearts to Jesus, Lord, in faith and repentance today. So that anybody here or watching who has never said it before can say, God, I know that I've been far from You. God, I know that I have sinned against You, that I've broken Your laws. But Lord, Your word says that You want to save me. Your word says that Your Son died to save me, God, and I want to be saved. Yes. And so, Father, I claim that promise. I invite You into my life now. I turn away from my sins. I turn away from the darkness. I trust what Jesus did on the cross, that He has paid for my sins. And I believe that today, Lord, and I receive that salvation and that new life and that gift of Your Spirit, Lord. And I thank You for that, Father. I trust You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.